The first chapter of the book of Ruth. We're starting a new section, beginning at the verse 6, so I want us quickly to read from that section. The verse 6, let's remind ourselves of the story, the wonderful story of God's mercy and grace to Naomi and to Ruth. Verse 6, then she, that's Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, O my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Amen, and may God bless his word to our hearts. This new section that we have just read deals with Naomi's return journey to Judah, at least the beginnings of it. I always find a great likeness in the story of Naomi to the story given us in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. Indeed, you might say you have the prodigal daughter in the Old Testament, the prodigal son in the New. And the same truths are illustrated in both of those wonderful stories. You see where in Luke chapter 15 and the verse 18, the prodigal, realizing suddenly the true nature of his condition, it says he came to himself, and then he said, I will arise and go to my father. And in verse 6 here of Ruth, we read, then she arose. And in both instances, that refers to the return journey beginning. The prodigal started back again for his father's house, and Ruth, in like fashion, arises to return to her own land. And of course, spiritually, she was returning to a place of obedience to God. In both stories, bread is the motive for this return journey. The prodigal had said, in my father's house there's bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Naomi is returning because she had heard that God had visited his people in giving them bread. You know, men and women, life revolves round a very small matter indeed. A very small matter indeed. When it comes right down to it, bread's more important than anything else. Wars have been fought about bread. Nation has gone to war against nation because of a fear that bread was being cut off from one by the other. You can live without diamonds. You can live without silks and satins. You can live without the luxuries of this world, but you can't live without bread. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself the title, the bread of life. You can't live without Jesus, the bread of life. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem, because the name means the house of bread. And if you and I are going to find that which will feed our souls, we'll have to go to Bethlehem, to the one who was born there as the Savior of men. It is interesting that Naomi, it says, heard that the Lord had visited his people. He hadn't visited her. Oh, men and women, God does not visit backsliders as he visits his people. If we had revival here today, God would not visit you if you remained a backslider. Be nothing for you. Be nothing for you. If she was to partake of what God had given in this visit of mercy, she was to leave Moab and go back again to Judah. You'll never know anything of God's blessing. Should he pour out his blessing on the one beside you, you'll not know anything of God's blessing until you return from backsliding to fellowship and communion with the Lord. I think I can say that the visit that God granted to his people in Judah was a visit of mercy. Now, God, I think, did visit Ruth, or rather Naomi and her husband, Abimelech, and their two sons, but he visited them in chastisement. He visited to judge them for their sins. It was the hand of God upon them that had caused, first of all, Naomi's husband to die, and then Naomi's two sons to die. This was a visit from God, but it was a visit in judgment. It was a visit in judgment. It was not a visit in mercy, a visit in grace, like that which the people in Judah were enjoying. Poor Naomi had been visited by the heavy hand of God's chastening. Now, if she was to once again enjoy mercy and know the blessing of God, then she must return to Judah and to Bethlehem. That sets the picture for us as we begin our study of this portion. The first thing I want us to think about is the message that Naomi heard. This return journey all began with a message. A message. It says in the verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. What a lot of information is packed into that little verse. And I say again, and I say to the boys and the girls, be careful how you read God's word. Study every word of it. Note what God is saying. Because God did not put anything there that he didn't specifically intend to be there and for you to note it. There's nothing you can discard. We are told that God can reach his people with his word, even in a Moab, even in Moab. That's encouraging to know. It should encourage you, dear friend, if you're praying for a loved one, that God might have mercy upon them. They're far away. They live in a land where the name of the Lord is never mentioned except in a sinful fashion. They live in a land where no consideration is ever given to the things of God. They live in a land of idolatry, a land of ignorance. They might well live next door to you, but in truth they live in a Moab. You can't reach them. They're a million miles away from you spiritually. You've tried to reach them with the gospel. You've proffered the gospel tract. You've invited them to meetings. But no, they won't come. They live in another land. Well, take heart from the simple truth here that God can reach his people with his word, even in the land of Moab. As the good shepherd followed the lost sheep, so the Lord Jesus follows those that are His. He follows the elect, be they backslider or be they yet in their sins. He pursues after them. He brings His word to them. There's none so far away who belong unto God eternally, but He can reach them. Pray on. Pray on. I have no doubt that in Judah there were loved ones of the household of Abimelech. Indeed, we'll learn that when they returned to Bethlehem, and it must have been a long time that they were away, maybe 25 years, I don't know. They were a long time away. Family had grown up. Boys had got married. So that quite a number of years would have passed. But even when she comes back, there are those who recognize her. Is this Naomi? She had friends there, and I have no doubt they prayed for her. And who knows, but maybe it was as a result of something that they did that caused Naomi to hear what God was doing in Judah. Maybe somebody specifically made a journey and sought them out and told them, God has visited us again, and there's plenty in the land. Once more. Who knows, but that was the case. I'm sure it had to be something along those lines. So I say to you today, if you have a loved one and they're dwelling in Moab, far away from God, a loved one who either is not saved or a loved one who is backslidden, please, you pray for them and take a wee journey now and then and tell them. Tell them. And it should cause us to pray all the more earnestly here in our church that God would visit us with revival, so that we could go and tell, listen, God's moving amongst us. Won't you come? Won't you come? That's the essence of what Andrew said to his brother Peter. We have found the Messiah. Come and see Him. That's the essence of what the woman of Samaria said. I have found the Messiah. Come and see Him. A revived people make great missionaries. It's out of revival that a missionary spirit is born. And out of this visitation of God amongst His people in Judah, there came a message. Came a message. And it reached Naomi. God has visited His people. It is to be noted that such was the state of Naomi when she heard this message. It must have had all the more effect and impact upon her to hear that in Judah they were enjoying the bounty of God, while here in Moab, the place she should not have come, the place to which she had not have come, we find that she was in widowhood. Consequently, she must have been in want, and she was in woe and misery. That's the state poor Naomi was, just like the prodigal. He was in want. He was perishing, he said. He was dying. All because of his foolish decision to leave his father's house. And because of the like foolish decision, here was a woman bereft of her husband and her sons. She was in widowhood. She was in want. There was no one to till the fields for her and to provide for her table. What misery poor Naomi must have been in. Oh, who knows the miseries of the backslider? Who knows what they think? Who knows when they lay their head upon the pillow at night, and when they look back to how things were, when they recall what once they enjoyed, who knows the regrets that fill their soul? God does. Don't be hasty to judge them, my friends. Don't read their countenance and say they're someone, and they don't seem to care in the least that they're backslidden. How wrong that is. How arrogant that is. Yes, it's arrogant. You set yourself up as God. You claim the same power as God to see beyond the countenance and see into the soul and see how the man or the woman really is. We don't know what's going on in the hearts of those around us. We don't know the pains. We don't know the agonies. We don't know the struggles. We don't know the difficulties. And what troubled nights poor Naomi must have had. She recounted how it had been with her. Now how it was with her. Look at the contents of the message that she heard. She heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. What a difference a visit from God brings, my friends. What a difference. It's such a difference my heart longs for it to come, if only for the sake of our young people. I cannot explain to you young people, for I know that human nature being what it is, you're likely just to put it down to the sentimental thinkings of an old fellow. But it's not. What a difference a visit from God makes. What a difference. Do I bore you by repeating a phrase that I have used so often? I remember when God did visit our meetings. I'll never get weary of saying that. And I hope that one of these days when I say it, God will cause you to begin to question and say, what was it like back then? Begin to question, as did Gideon of old, where is the Lord that wrought great works in the past? To make you ask what Elisha asked as he stood, having just been parted from Elijah, the great prophet, where is the God of Elijah? I long for the day when the rising generation will say that, where is the God of our fathers? God had visited, and what a mighty difference a visit from God makes. Let me show you what the essence of a visit from God is. If you turn to the New Testament, in fact, it's only a few weeks ago, less than that maybe, that we were looking at this in our prayer meeting, for we're reading our way, as you know, through the Gospel of Luke. And in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the verse 68, the Gospel of Luke, and the verse 68, we have old Zacharias. I say old, he was an elderly man when he said this, but we are inclined in Ulster to use the word old, and of old and young, in an affectionate way. We speak of someone for whom we have an affection as that old. I suppose we're thinking of an old friend. But anyway, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, we read in verse 67, and he prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's speaking of the Messiah here. And the coming of Christ was the visit from God. The visit from God. Every visit that God pays to his people, it is one in which the blessings of Christ are bestowed upon his people. When we visit, we usually bring a gift, don't we? Well, God does that. When God visits his people, he brings gifts. And the gifts he brings are the graces of the Lord Jesus. We could say the gift he brings is the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 78 of this same passage. As the old man continues, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The day spring from on high hath visited us. That word, day spring, well, you know what a spring is. It's the fountain. The fountain of the day. We would call it the sunrise. That's what it's speaking of. Daybreak. Daybreak. God comes, and when he does come unto his people, it's the beginning of a new day. Jesus Christ is the day spring. He's the day spring. He's the daybreak that you, if you're not saved, needs. For you're in the dark. You're in the dark, and you'll never have light until Jesus Christ comes, who is the day spring from on high. And of course, when the day comes, what blessing it brings. It drives away the terrors and the fears and the doubts and the discomforts of the night. That's why nature greets the dawn with singing. What a blessing it is to be able to listen to the birds as they sing. What a lesson they would teach us. There's an old blackbird that sits up near to our house and it gets the highest branch, the highest twig on an ash tree. And there it sings, and it sings unto its creator. For God put the song in its mouth and nothing keeps it from singing. Doesn't matter whether it's raining in the morning or not, there it is to sing, welcoming a new day. And there are, of course, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We get so used to it, you know, in this part of the world. Oh, men and women, take yourself out some day and sit down and sit and sit and sit until your ears are tuned to the sound of nature rejoicing round about you. So tuned into all the activities of the world. I see young people going along with these earmuffs on and them blind and deaf to everything. Oh, this thumping match that's going on from some electronic device they're carrying. Madness. Oh, when Christ comes, what a welcome coming that is. Even as the daybreak is a most welcome occasion in this cycle of life here on earth. It's the end. The end of the night and all that the night entails. And there begins a new day. Life and joy and peace floods in. It floods in. Remember poor Naomi. Remember what it was like for her. If you look back there, although we'll be coming back to Luke chapter 1, so just keep your finger in it. But if you look at verse 20, when Naomi arrives in Bethlehem, and the question is posed, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now, she was a woman in bitterness, there's no doubt about that. She was left embittered by her experiences. She was wounded by her experiences. There was a bitterness that had entered into her soul. And I say that that little word there, translated bitterness, is the same word that you find in Exodus chapter 1 and the verse 14. Exodus chapter 1, the verse 14, speaking of the impact upon the Israelites that the slavery imposed on them had made. Verse 14, and they, the Egyptians, made their lives bitter with hard bondage. In mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. There was bitterness in Egypt for the Israelite. And that's the same word. God employs the same word. He's telling us something. Something of the same bitterness was in poor Naomi. And that's what happens when you're not visited by God in mercy. To be bereft of God's blessing and God's grace will bring you bitterness. Bring you bitterness. But when you're visited, the day spring begins. Jesus, the day spring comes. In similar vein, another title is given to our blessed Savior. He's the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, who rises with healing in his wings. Oh, what life and joy comes as a result of the blessings of the Lord. Go back there to Luke chapter 1 again, the verse 79. This day spring from on high hath visited us, it says in 78 then. In 79, we're told what he came to do, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The way of peace. The troubles of the night are gone. The disturbing and frightening shadows of the night are gone, and there's peace now that Jesus has come. I could follow on and look and show you how he brought peace. Remember when old Simeon met him in the temple? The Lord Jesus was just over a month old, but he was already bringing peace. Simeon lifted him up, and he said, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Paul the Apostle gave us that great verse, Romans chapter 5. Maybe the boys and girls would like to look it up. We look it up together and read it, for it's so important. This will help to make your fingers nimble in opening the Bible and finding your way through it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the day spring from on high that has brought peace, led our feet into the path of peace, led our feet into the path of peace. Oh, this was the content of the message that Naomi had received. This is doubtless something of the thoughts that would have been passing through her heart and mind as she heard the news that God had visited his people in giving them bread. You'll notice, and with this we'll close, you'll notice that it was news of a gift that she heard. God gave them bread. Was there toil involved in the reaping of the harvests of the barley and the wheat? Yes. But the bread, nevertheless, was still a gift from God. It was a gift from God in giving them bread. Men and women, God's salvation is free. God's salvation is free. Boys and girls, God's salvation is free. There's not one of you today going home and sitting down at whatever mum has prepared expects to pay for it. Well, you might have to wash the dishes, and that'll be right. But that'll come after the meal, and it's hardly payment. It's free. You can sit down there at the table, take your knife and fork, and I hope you do that, and don't be rolling up your sleeves just, and start eating. It's free. It's free. That's why we give thanks, for it's come from the Lord. It's come from the Lord. Have you partaken of God's free salvation? You want to know how free salvation is? Well, I'll show you. If you turn to the first chapter of the Bible. Now, that's not hard to find. First chapter of the Bible. We read in verse 14 that God makes the lights to give light upon the earth. Verse 15. Verse 16, he made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. All of these things for giving light. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light unto the earth. Now, when Naomi heard that the Lord had visited his people to give them bread, the word give, same word as you have there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give. Same Hebrew word. It's important to note that. God employs the same word. Tell me, how free is the sunshine? How free is it? Do you have to pay for it? No. Do you pay for the moonlight? Or the shining of the stars? No. There's no bill comes at the end of the quarter demanding payment for the energy that has come to us from the sun. God gave them. Gave them. It's free. Oh, that our Roman Catholic neighbours might learn this essential truth. And when I say Roman Catholic neighbours, my mind immediately says yes, and include our Protestant neighbours, for they've been blinded by the same foolish notion that you've got to earn, you've got to do something for God's salvation. God's salvation is as free as the sunshine. As free as the sunshine, men and women. As free as the sunshine. God gives. God gives. Have you taken what God offers? Have you received the Lord Jesus? Maybe you've asked him to wash away your sins. And you know, he has promised to do that. Will you take him at his word? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to have saved me when I have asked you. And I believe you have. Oh, today, let every one of you here that's saved pray for a visit from the day spring. Pray for such a visit, that there might come a time of blessing in the land again, and that those who are in Moab will hear of what God is doing. And if you're not saved today, all the glories of salvation are as free as the sunshine. You've only to take it. You'll go out of this door. I'm not sure if the sun's just shining at the moment, but if it does manage to show its face, you can go out and lift up your face and feel the sun shining. Not charged anything for him. Oh, today, men and women, may God open our hearts to his truth. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus is the day spring. Oh, let the day of the Lord come again amongst us. Bless each one that has heard Your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.